Next Step number 461, April 6th, 2017. A bit about faith, a bit about fear. About people who, well, just don't get it. And one that does get it. Avadov Hostovanim. On this week before Holy Week. This is Father Voskan. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the spiritual, the emotional, the physical, and the psychological, and everything in between, here on The Next Step. And we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskan provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The Next Steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
Xanax. It's the most popular anti-anxiety drug in America. Xanax, spelled with an X on both sides. Now, think about that. Why are people taking anti-anxiety drugs? Well, obviously, there's a lot of anxiety, and nobody wants that anxiety. So I got hit by somebody who, hit me with a question recently, sent me an email and asked, well, what do we do about that anxiety? I mean, what do we do as Christians? I mean, is it true that there are these evil spirits and we have God fighting these evil spirits and we live constantly in fear and we have a lot of anxiety? How do we cope with that? And it got me to thinking, really, yeah, well, we do believe in spirits. We believe in the spiritual world. But it's so obvious. I mean, if you think about it for a moment, right? Panic attacks, anxiety, they're becoming very, very common lately. And people are needing these anti-anxiety drugs. Well, what's the reason? I mean, as faith diminishes, right? As people are moving away from faith, fear increases. It's very easy. Think about it for a moment, right? What do we teach here at Armadoxy? What do we teach as part of our Armadoxy diet? We understand that fear is the opposite of faith. If you have fear, then it shows a lack of faith. If you have faith, you don't have that fear. And it's this balance that we are struggling with. It's a very difficult thing to have that fear because, as we've shared with you many times, it's not the doubt that is the opposite of faith, which would seem definition-wise, you have faith, and so if you don't have faith, you have doubt. That would be the opposite. No, it's the fear that you have. Remember what Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said. He said, faith is taking that first step, even when you don't know where the staircase, or you can't see the entire staircase. Paraphrased, I'm sorry. But you get the idea. Without knowing where the staircase is, you take that first step. That's what real faith is. Fear is the opposite of that, not being able to do that. And certainly, this is what we're seeing. As more and more we move away from faith, there's going to be more incidents of fear, adding to our anxiety as individuals, and of course, as our collective anxiety as people. And we're seeing politicians take advantage of that fearful state, right? And in that fearful state, we're seeing this populist movement where we've forgotten about this globalized society, that we are children of the same planet, but now we are building walls and separating ourselves from one another. Well, this is playing into this collective anxiety. And obviously, we're going to be more and more fearful. So, Once again, think about it. Doubt and disbelief are normal parts of Christian existence. They give rise to contemplation and meditation about basic issues of life. But fear prevents us from, well, from living. So the opposite of fear is faith. And faith is what permits and allows us to live fully. Right? If fear prevents us from living fully, fear and faith, faith allows us to live fully, completely. So yes, as people are moving away from faith, their fear is increasing, and hence we're going to see more and more anxiety and panic. So I started the show off with a word, Xanax. And I just wanted to do that because it was cool looking word. Two X's. Actually, what I wanted to start off with was some experiences over this past week and start off with the number of today's show, 461. Isn't that cool, huh? It's a prime number, 461. And we started off this day by taking a trip to the zoo with our dear Ani Bubbles and her kids, a dear friend's son, and just enjoyed it. And now in front of this microphone, on April 6th, doing episode number 461. 61. Prime number. It's wild how everything just fits into place. And then take it a little further. We're going to have a great song of the day today. Just some beautiful music that just came out. I'm going to be sharing that with you. And I'm going to be sharing with you some prayers. Today we're going to be talking about prayers. Remember I told you we're going to be doing a special programming for Holy Week. I want to put that together. It's coming up next week. And I thought as a prelude to that, we would do some prayers together. It's something different. I haven't tried this. So I'm going to try it with you. But before I do that, I want to share with you what happened this week. Wild stuff, okay? I got invited to speak at a group called Haigin, Armenian Women. That's the name of the group. And they asked me to speak. And here's a group that was so consumed with degrees and status. The status that comes with degrees, okay? It was really, really interesting. I got to share this with you, okay? So they've got a couple professors on there, one from Armenia. They've got a guy who's doing a master's or some kind of dissertation. They've got a guy from the Armenian Protestant Church. And each of them next to their name has a degree. And the Protestant reverend had a Master of Divinity in there. The other guy's PhDs, MAs. And then the lowly priest, namely me, they've put a BA next to it, Bachelor of Arts here in America. And I'm thinking, this is kind of odd. Like, where do you get this Bachelor of Arts? I mean, I do have a Master of Arts. And here's the interesting thing. 35 years since I've gotten my master's degree, I've never once used it. I've never once had to tell people this is my degree. But that day, I'm looking at it. Prelude to that day, in all the PR, they've got my name with a BA. And I'm going, what is this? Well, I went ahead and I did something which is really out of character for me. I called them up and I said, I'm sorry, I don't know where this BA came from, but if you are going to use these titles and these degrees, I would prefer that you use my correct one, which is a Master of Arts in Social Ethics. I get to the event. There it is again. This is the BA. And I got to thinking, okay, you know, it's the idea of that dumb priest, you know? Like, in other words, he's a priest, and so he can't have a degree or something like that. It's very interesting. It's a problem among Armenians. And I felt this the first time when I was watching a movie as a young man, and I remember it was an Italian movie, American movie about an Italian family, and the excitement that the family had that their child was going to become a priest. And I thought about, in Armenian circles, it's just just the opposite. Like, you know, God forbid you're going to become a priest. They will do everything they can to discourage you from becoming a priest. And this is all part of the same formula. You know, it's like you're marked. So you're the priest, and so therefore you can't be, you can't have that degree. Anyway, it was an opportunity to talk about changes in the world, and they wanted me to talk about the changes that social media, how horrible and awful social media is. And I thought this was very odd that they would ask me that, but I also thought it was an opportunity for me to enlighten a community. And it was really good because there were five or six of us speaking on a panel. And just by the applause, I know that there was a recognition of the message that I had to get out. And basically that was, hey, instead of blaming social media, because today it's social media, a few years ago it was just plain old vanilla internet, before that it was television, before television it was radio, before radio it was books, and there's always been this witch hunt, you know, like let's do away from anything that will move us away from thinking, you know. And I said, and I turned it around and I made my presentation about spiritual accountability. In other words, at what point do we stop pointing our fingers at these culprits or vilifying or demonizing these objects such as social media or these movements? And when do we start accepting the responsibility that we ourselves are responsible for our future? We ourselves are responsible for the life that we have right now. It is so important. And I felt like here was an opportunity to speak to these people at a level that was old hat for me, but I understood that among this group, that this was an opportunity to talk about a fresh idea. And it did go over so well. People were so receptive to it. Until the very end, the organizer of the event got up and she gave a synopsis, and it was obvious that what I had to say really bothered her, because the other synopsis of all the other speakers was basically, they said this and that. Me, it was just like the straight attack, like, you said this, this is what we believe. You said this, this is what we believe. And it was really, really funny. And I realized at that moment that really what we share here on The Next Step is really one step ahead. It is true to its name. It is the next step. I mean, I talked about the idea that we need to take responsibility and stop looking around for other people to validate our position. And you've heard me say it here many times. You know, this whole idea about genocide recognition. We need others to validate us. And psychologically, it hits on us collectively as well, right? Because what are we saying to our children? We're saying that basically we are second class. Basically, we need someone else from the outside to come and validate our reality. And so we appeal to politicians. Who could care less? I mean, what is a politician? What is the first and foremost reason why a politician will say something? To get more votes, right? Self-preservation. Self-promotion. It's just basic. Any institution, anybody, think about it. You know, I mean, yeah, this is not to say that they're bad. Although, you know, you know how I feel. But, I mean, this is not to say that they're bad. But basically, they're going to go, that's the nature of the beast. That's the definition, okay? So they're going to go with the popular consensus. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be true. And, you know, this whole truth thing is now a big, 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 big issue, right? And what was it? A couple weeks ago, Time Magazine heralded the death of truth right on its front page. Think about it. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The death of truth, the death of God, right? And think about what we were saying a few minutes ago, right? We were talking about the loss of faith, giving us more anxiety in the death of God. And this is all part of the same problem that we have. And sure enough, today I get my Armenian newspaper, which my mom has subscribed me to. Can't thank her enough because she, lovely lady, just doesn't understand that we get news like 2-3 weeks before it shows up in the Armenian newspapers. But here it is, front page, Barbara Streisand supports Armenian genocide movie. Yes! Are we excited? Then they go on to talk about different people who are stamping and giving their support and approval for the Armenian genocide. Like, we need it. Well, I guess they do. And so what I tried to do at this event was try to say that we have to start relying on ourselves. That we can't be looking for other people to validate a reality which you and I know happened. Okay? But we keep going back to it. And sure enough, at the end of this talk, lady gets up and she says that, Father Boskin, you've got to understand that we need those people to say yes to us. We need those politicians. Well, that's fine. Yeah, you do need them. But, you know, yeah, it brought home the point that without a basis of faith, right? In other words, that fear that we were talking about earlier, yeah, that fear is going to make you rely on the wrong things. Because think about this, okay? Remember we started at the beginning and I said about this question came up, like, why is there anxiety? Why is there fear? And in that same email that this lady had written to me, she asked about evil spirits. And this is a very common question that I get asked all along. They'll show me like different things and they'll say, well, what do you think about evil spirits? Here's the bottom line. If God is for you, who could be against you? St. Paul the Apostle says it, right? Push it, right? What evil spirit are you talking about if God is with you? If you believe that God is with you, what are you scared about on the other side? Do you see how it all fits in? And this is the same thing about self-worth. And self-identity, if we really believed in ourselves, do you need Barbara Streisand to tell you that the genocide took place? Do you need politicians to get up every year and claim it to be a genocide when you know it was a genocide? Well, I know there's other factors involved, but meanwhile, in this, I will go on record as saying too, this is my personal account, and I think that there is a place for genocide recognition efforts. But it can't be all-consuming, and it is all-consuming. We have conditioned our people to be consumed, totally consumed, with genocide recognition, forgetting that the best way to recognize it is to prevent a genocide right now. And we're not doing that. We're not working towards preventing it. And, of course, we hear about Syria this week, about the chemical weapons that they're using on their own people. We're appalled. But we go on. Business as usual, right? We still have basketball tournaments. We still have our baseball season is starting. And we got all kinds of stuff. And the next step keeps going. So I feel like at this point, when I go to these events, I'm not going to be going to many more of these events. I'm going to really scrutinize who invites me to go get up and talk, because we can't just be wasting our time with groups that are unwilling to understand. And we do have to make our mark on the bigger opportunities out there. Case in point, guess what? A couple weeks we're going to be starting these alternative services. And the second of these alternative services, it's on Monday night, is going to be on April 24th. We're going to be celebrating the Divine Liturgy. Celebrating, that's right, April 24th. That's going to be coming up. Now, this is a complete different understanding than the usual fare, which is like, oh, let's feel bad for ourselves. Let's pity ourselves because, look, an injustice has happened. It's the opposite. It's like, let's stand up with dignity and be able to talk about what our next step, what our next action should be. So at this point, I'm going to be taking a little bit of a break from talking to these kind of these other organizations. Yes, this one happened to be AGBU. There are a few like this that just aren't going to get it. They would rather suffer. They would rather curse the darkness than light one candle to illuminate that darkness. And I prefer to light that candle. And I think that's what we do over here. I'm going to take a break right now. We're going to hear the song of the day. We do this every week. Something very special. A new album has come out called Jethro Tull, String Quartet. And I'd like to share a song with you right now. Album, Jethro Tull, the String Quartets. And I would highly recommend that you get the entire album, but you can listen to whatever you feel like and pick out, pick and choose. I'll have a link on today's show notes. But You Know Me, I had to pick up the entire CD, and it is just wonderful. The liner notes included, pictures in there, but this is something probably we all knew eventually would happen. I mean, the music is so complex. Ian Anderson's music is so complex. And just to be able to put it in this way, just the arrangements are beautiful. Highly, highly recommend. It's called Jethro Tull, The String Quartets. Came out 2017, just about a week ago. I was happy to share it with you today. And if you get a chance, do see them. They are touring right now. Australia, yes, Australia, Easter, April 16th, they're going to be in Australia. I mean, get out there, and this is just wild music, it's great stuff. I had a chance to see them in 1978 on Easter Eve. Never forget that. I went to the Badarak. I was a deacon, went to the Badarak, the Divine Liturgy at St. James, and then afterwards, I hauled it in my little green VW all the way out to Long Beach where they were playing. Excuse me, it was 1976. It's all coming back to me. Woo! And I went out to Long Beach where they were playing at the convention center. It was a big arena, sports arena. I think it was called the Long Beach Sports Arena, if I remember right. And as I walked in, there was John Evans playing on this little Hammond organ, and he was rocking. I'll never forget that little scene that I saw there. And maybe it was just the juxtaposition of the Holy Divine Liturgy of the Armenian Church next to the Jethro Tull concert on the Eve of Eves, you know, on Easter Eve, with this message that Christ has resurrected, you know, after this Lenten period. It was just beautiful. Anyway, so Easter Sunday in Australia. Yes, yes, I will have a link on today's show notes to the music and a lot of other stuff. Check them out. In a few days, we begin the holiest of all times on the Christian calendar. Namely, we begin Holy Week with the resurrection of Lazarus on Saturday, followed by Palm Sunday, Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, his cleaning out of the temple. We continue it throughout the week with the remembrance of the 10 maidens, to the feet washing service, to Chavarum, to the burial service of our Lord, crucifixion and burial, and finally to Easter, Easter Eve, and Easter, the celebration of resurrection. Namely, we go from life to death to life, and every emotion possible in between, because it's not just a black and white black event. It is an event that takes you and me through the depths, through the twilights of our life, through the gray scales, where we start asking the questions about faith, how easy it is to lose faith. We see that here an innocent man who only gave love to this world, and in return, he was humiliated, he was mocked, he was chastised, he was betrayed by his friends. Yeah, by people he trusted, by people who said that they would be with him till the end. And so through the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, we understand a lot about humanity. We understand difficulties. We understand betrayal. We understand suffering. We understand depression. We understand our fears, our anxieties in life. And at the end of this road, we also have resurrection, therefore a possibility to overcome all of those difficulties. Now, next week is Holy Week, and I do want to do something special, but for right now, what I'd like to do is start off with a prayer. This is called the Havadov Chostavanim. It is an exceptional prayer written by St. Nerses Shnorhali in the 12th century. My sister Anush did a presentation on this at Reclaim. And by the way, those Reclaim videos should be available next week. I just did the final edits with the editor a couple days ago, and we should have them online next week. So do check us out at all the usual spots. Or if it's easier for you, just drop me an email. Drop me a line and say, because I did promise to all of you, my Next Step listeners. I want you to hear some of the incredible presentations that were made. But for right now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to share with you the prayer, just the prayer of St. Nerse Shnorhali. Because so often we are given this prayer as something to read. And I thought that last night I had an opportunity to listen to it. And there's a difference when you listen to something, because remember, most of our traditions, most of our stories have been given to us orally. It's only been in the last several hundred years that people have gotten to that point where the education of the people has allowed them to read some of this material. But remember that it was always transmitted orally first. And that's what I'd like to do right now. I'd like to share, I'd like to read to you the prayers of St. Nerse Shnorhali. And as I read this, contemplate on the idea of forgiveness. We are asking God for his forgiveness. We are asking God to look at us. Actually, you'll notice that this is very penitential in nature. And so we ask for God's forgiveness, for his mercy upon us. And each verse ends with, "Have mercy upon me and upon all your creatures, and recognize that I am a great sinner," because I recognize I am a great sinner. And so I invite you to share in that final verse with me, "Have mercy upon all your creatures and upon me, a great sinner." Havadov Chostavanim. 24 verses. As a prelude to what's coming during Holy Week, with a promise that we do have something very special in line and in mind for you during Holy Week. But in the meantime, I want to share this with you right now. I confess with faith and adore you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, uncreated and immortal essence, creator of angels, of humans, and of all that exists. Have mercy upon your creatures and on me, a great sinner. I confess with faith and adore you, O light indivisible, simultaneous Holy Trinity and one Godhead, creator of light and the dispeller of darkness. Dispel from my soul the darkness of sin and ignorance, and at this hour enlighten my mind, that I may pray to you according to your will, and receive from you the fulfillment of my supplication. Have mercy upon your creatures, and upon me, a great sinner. Heavenly Father, true God, who sent your beloved Son to seek the wandering sheep, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Receive me like the prodigal son. Clothe me with the garment of innocence, of which I was deprived by sin. Have mercy upon your creatures, and upon me, a great sinner. Son of God, true God, who descended from the bosom of the Father and took flesh of the Holy Virgin Mary for our salvation, who was crucified and buried, and rose from the dead, and ascended to the Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Remember me like the robber when you come in your kingdom. Have mercy upon your creatures, and upon me, a great sinner. Spirit of God, true God, who descended into the Jordan and into the upper chamber, and who enlightened me by baptism in the holy font, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Cleanse me with your divine fire, as you purified the holy apostles with fiery tongues. Have mercy upon your creatures, and upon me, a great sinner. Uncreated essence, I have sinned against you in mind, soul, and body. Do not remember my former sins for the sake of your holy name. Have mercy upon your creatures, and upon me, a great sinner. Beholder of all, I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Erase the record of my offenses, and write my name in the book of life. Have mercy upon your creatures, and upon me, a great sinner. Searcher of secrets, I have sinned against you willingly and unwillingly, knowingly and unknowingly. Grant me, a great sinner, forgiveness. For since I was born of the holy font until this day, I have sinned before you, by my senses and by all the members of my body. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, a great sinner. All provident Lord, place your holy fear as a guard before my eyes, so that they may no longer look lustfully, before my ears, so that they may not delight in hearing evil words, before my mouth, so that it may not speak any falsehoods, before my heart, so that it may not think evil, before my hands, so that they may not do injustice, before my feet, that they may not walk in the paths of injustice, but so direct them, so that they may always be according to all your commandments. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, a great sinner. O Christ, who are the living fire, inflame my soul with the fire of your love, which you did send forth upon the earth, that it may burn the stains of my soul, sanctify my conscience, purge the sins of my body, and kindle in my heart the light of your knowledge. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, a great sinner. O Jesus, wisdom of the Father, grant me wisdom, that I may always think, speak, and do that which is good in your sight. Save me from evil thoughts, words, and deeds. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, a great sinner. O Lord, who wills that which is good, and are the director of the will, let me not follow the inclinations of my heart, but lead me to live always according to your good will. Have mercy upon your creatures, and upon me, a great sinner. Heavenly King, grant me your kingdom, which you have promised to your beloved. Strengthen my heart to hate sin and to love you alone, and to do your will. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, a great sinner. Protector of your creatures, by the sign of your cross, keep my soul and body from the allurements of sin, from the temptations of the devil and unjust people, and from all perils of soul and body. Have mercy upon your creatures, and upon me, a great sinner. O Christ, the guardian of all, let your right hand guard and shelter me by day and by night, while at home and while away, while sleeping and while awake, that I may never fall. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, a great sinner. O my God, who opens your hand and fills all things living with your bounty, to you I commit my soul. Do care for me and provide for the needs of my body and soul forever. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, a great sinner. You who bring back the wanderers, turn me from my evil ways to good ones. Imprint upon my soul the recollection of the dreadful day of death, the fear of hell, and the love of your kingdom, that I may repent of my sins and do righteousness. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, a great sinner. Fountain of immortality, make the tears of repentance flow from my heart like those of the adulteress, that I may wash away the sins of my soul before I depart from this world. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, a great sinner. Bestower of mercy, grant that I may come to you with true faith, with good works, and by the communion of your holy body and blood. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, a great sinner. Beneficent Lord, commit me to a good angel, that I may deliver up my spirit in peace. convey it undisturbed by the malice of evil spirits that are under the heavens. Have mercy upon your creatures, and upon me, a great sinner. O Christ, true light, make my soul worthy to behold with joy the light of your glory in that day when you call me, and to rest in the hope of good things in the mansions of the just until the day of your glorious coming. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, a great sinner. Righteous Judge, when you come in the glory of the Father to judge the living and the dead, enter not into judgment with your servant, but deliver me from the eternal fire, and make me worthy to hear the blissful call of the just to your heavenly kingdom. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, a great sinner. All-merciful Lord, have mercy upon all your faithful, on those who are mine and on those who are strangers, on those whom I know and on those whom I do not know, on the living and on the dead, and forgive all my enemies and those who hate me, the trespasses that they have committed against me. Turn them from the malice which they bear towards me, that they may be worthy of your mercy. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, a great sinner. Glorified Lord, accept the supplications of your servant and graciously fulfill my petitions through the intercessions of the Holy Mother of God, John the Baptist, the first martyr, Saint Stephen, Saint Gregory, our illuminator, the holy apostles, prophets, divines, martyrs, patriarchs, hermits, virgins, and all your saints in heaven and on earth. And unto you, O indivisible Holy Trinity, be glory and worship forever and ever. A very special prayer. Did I need to tell you that? It's a remarkable prayer. It's a magical, it's a mystical prayer. I confess with faith. Havadov Chostavanim by Nerses Shnorhali. You know, we always talk, this is of course an English translation. I tell you, it's worth the pain of learning classical Armenian, if for nothing else but to read this prayer in its original language. Havadov Chostavanim. It's just really intense. Anyway, this was the prayer right now. I invite you to pray it. There'll be a link on today's show notes so you could download it. You can have a copy of it and pray it. It takes very little time, 10 minutes at the most. It's a way of focusing. It's a way of relieving the ego, taking the ego out, right? I hope you felt that throughout the thing. There's an acknowledgement of God in many, many different means and ways, right? God is seen as the merciful Lord. God is seen as he who brings back the wandering sheep, he who is the light of the world, enlighten and inflame the flame of the world. I mean, it's so beautiful. So beautiful. And that's why I wanted to just read it as a prelude to next week. Next week we have Holy Week, and we go, we walk with our Lord to Golgotha, to his crucifixion, to the burial, to his resurrection. And think about it. To do that, you really need to get rid of the I, the ego. You need to tame it at least, right? This is a way of doing it. And so I invite you to say this prayer. It was interesting because as I was reading through the last verse, there's an evangelist named, I was going to say Billy Joel. No, Joel Osteen. I don't know. Does he refer to himself as an evangelist? Maybe he's positive thinking. I enjoy listening to him, actually. I like it for the showmanship that he has, the metaphors that he brings, and how he really really connects a lot of dots. But what's interesting, at the very end of each of his sermons, his speeches, his talks, he does this small little prayer, and he says, "Friends, if you prayed this prayer with us, I believe, or we believe, that you have been born again." And as I was finishing up today this Havadov Chostovanim and the last verses, I thought to myself, friends, if you prayed this with us, really, you have left your ego behind. You have really walked away and walked in the direction of Christ. And that's a beautiful testament to the enduring power, the endearing power of St. Nerses Shnorhali's beautiful prayer, Havadov Chostovanim. There's a lot we can say about it. And as I said, my sister shared quite a bit about this prayer. It's in its entirety, which is, will be available next week on video. It's from the Reclaim Conference, and I would really encourage you to watch that and get her insight on this as well. Let's take a break right now. Here's Susie to make her announcements. I'll be back in a few moments and share with you some closing remarks and some exciting news coming up.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you for all your prayers, your support. They go a long way. It's actually making this happening, making miracles happen. Do you know that we are starting new services, alternative services, not because we just want to, actually sanctioned by one of the archbishops of the church, namely His Eminence Archbishop Hovnan Derderian, who is sanctioning alternative services, and those will be taking place every Monday evening, Pacific time. We're going to try very hard, working with Susie closely to see if we can stream these, because every week will be thematic and we will be moving forward. We're going to be using an Episcopal church, which graciously has given us the space in the middle of Glendale. We're going to be doing short Vesper services, intense preaching, Bible study, and once a month we hope to have the Divine Liturgy celebrated, in other words, a Mass celebrated. And if you will be gracious enough to share with us your email, your information, we'll be happy to send you out information if you're not already on our list. But do check out all of our websites, because I'm not really sure how the mechanics of this is going to work. We're kicking it off April 17th, and I'm hoping that that night we're going to be able to go full speed ahead. Now, I say this, why at the end of the show? Well, because we ask for donations, and these are the kind of things that your donations go to support. I mean, it costs money. Bandwidth is money. It costs money to broadcast these things. Instruments. It costs money to have the recorders, to have the devices that share this information with the world. So, when you support In Issues, when you support Epostle, get to our site, inissues.org, press on the donate button. You know that you're supporting a ministry that is growing, and it is right in line with the church. In other words, it's not a splinter group. It is sanctioned by an archbishop of the church. It is a priest of the Armenian church who is celebrating these services, and we're inviting you to be a part of this incredible ministry. So thank you for your prayers. As you see, they're getting answered. And thank you for supporting us along the way. Do remember to share Yeah, that's the absolute biggest thing that you can do. Tell your friends about it. You know, when you get on your favorite podcatcher, when you're on iTunes, do like us, you know, say a few good things about us. Put us up on Facebook, share our links on Facebook, wherever you happen to be, and tell people that, hey, this is a ministry that's dynamic. It goes a long way. If you happen to be in Glendale on Monday nights, you want to be there, you know what? We'll have the address in our show notes today. We'll have an actual press release that came out from the Western Diocese. That's for all of you skeptics that are saying, what? Is this in the Armenian Church? No. This is in the Armenian Church. Yeah. This is real Armenian Church, okay? It's happening. There's a revolution taking place, and you happen to be in on that revolution. Hey, let's call it a day today. Thank you so much for joining us for episode number 461 of The Next Step. I want to thank you for being here throughout the week as well, for all the wonderful notes you send me, for the prayers that you say for us and for our ministry. Keep them going. And join us at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and of course you can email us at feedback@epostle.net. I know some of you have given up on email. I get these huge compositions written on Facebook Messenger. Hey, man, I'm not really into this phone stuff, but I have to be, I guess. I want to remind you, starting next week, it is Holy Week. Check on Epostle, whether it's on Facebook or at the Epostle site or on In Issues. We're going to try to get together something that we put together unique for Holy Week. Drop me an email if you need to find out more about that. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us. On behalf of this wonderful team who's here and keeps me smiling and happy like this, on behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the Monday, Thursday, next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath. Cut out!